Been a long 7 months since the COVID-19 pandemic began here in the U.S. In the early weeks of the outbreak, many communities restricted movement and public gatherings to slow the spread of the disease. As the weather got warmer and our isolation caught up with us, a lot of people engaged in potentially risky social behavior, in some cases going to bars or gatherings that allowed the virus to spread further. When numbers went back up, some public health experts said new stay-at-home orders might be needed. But our next guest says that teaching people to socialize smarter may be a better way to balance the spread of the virus and the need for social contact, especially in the fall and winter months. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How has COVID-19 impacted how you socialize? Will you be changing your habits as the number of cases rise here in the state? What questions do you have about socializing safely? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Jason Bay is a medical director at Prealize Health and an internist. He recently wrote an opinion piece about safer socializing for STAT. Dr. Bay, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, Dr. Bay, we've seen cases rising here in Wisconsin. On and off, we hear calls for more, you know, stay-at-home orders or lockdowns. I understand Ireland has a pretty restrictive order coming in. You've made the case in that piece I mentioned included that stricter lockdowns can actually backfire. Why is that?
Well, I think the first thing that I wanted to say is that I think lockdown in the beginning of the pandemic in March or April, when we didn't know much about the virus and how it spread, actually did an effective job, stopping and slowing the spread of the virus. I think what ended up happening was that the conversations around, reopening the economy and reopening the business around really June and July happened really without much guidance on how do you go back to socializing once this lockdown is eased. And what we end up seeing, in places like Wisconsin and in rest of the U.S. and Europe is that, people then start to interact with each other in a way that they used to, pre-COVID-19, gathering in large groups indoors, and that really does prompt this resurgence of virus that we see. So I think lockdowns in strategic places are effective, but I think it is we can't just do lockdown and then go going back to reopening the economy, right? We need somewhere some measures in between, really helping people socialize safely and really spread or stop the spread of the virus without preventing people from socializing with each other entirely.
And you are inspired with your suggestions for safe socializing by movements toward safe sex, public health efforts along those lines. How so?
Yeah, so I think, when I was thinking about the need to be social, and I was really thinking about other public health kind of issues around this, when do we really trying to, educate people on something that is so inherent in human needs, right? And I think sexual desire is one of them. What public health tells us is that, or at least the science behind sexual education is that when we teach teenagers especially to, hey, don't have sex, wait until, marriage or whatnot, what we end up seeing is that abstinence only approach is really not effective. What science tells us repeatedly is that, when we teach people, people comprehensive sexual education, which really covers us, sexually transmitted diseases, how to properly use condom and how to engage in those sexual practices safely. That's when we really see the curtailing of risky sexual behaviors and sexually transmitted disease and unwanted pregnancy. So, I thought there was a good parallel to learn from that, from the sexual health education.
Talking to Dr. Jason Bay, an internist, about safer socializing during COVID-19, some smart decisions and choices he says that could actually have an impact on the spread of the disease. So if we're going to recognize Dr. Bay, as I think most people do, that there is value in socializing with other people, what are the first things we should think about when we judge this thing is maybe safer than that other thing?
Yeah, so I'll give you a brief overview of how the virus is transmitted, because I think it will be really good for the listeners of the WPR to have that information to contextualize what I'm about to kind of suggest. So, you know, what we know is that most transmissions seem to really happen via droplets between people who are in close proximity. You know, that and these droplets are released when people are talking or just simply breathing or coughing. And, you know, we are also understanding there's a role for these aerosols, which are these tiny air particles that float in the air for hours at a time, which is especially problematic in indoors with poor air circulations. And you know, scientists tells us that these are the two major ways that the virus is transmitted. You know, so when I think about, you know, COVID-19 risk, I came up with this mnemonic of ABCDEF of the COVID-19 risk. So I'll go through those, which is, yeah. You know, A stands for airflow, B stands for body, C stands for closeness, D stands for duration, E stands for epidemiology, and F stands for face coverings. So, you know, airflow, you know, we understand, we know that the outdoor is much safer because there's a lot of air circulation. You know, and the outbreaks are rare in outdoor settings, and ventilation and getting the fresh air is very, very critical. So, you know, anytime you're thinking about gathering, think about how can we, you know, if the weather allows, you know, can you go outside and hang out outdoors? Or if you're indoors, is there a way to increase the airflow, whether by cracking open the window and getting a sweater on or a jacket on or even putting some air purifiers in? And then in terms of B, bodies, you know, how do we decrease the number of people in the social interaction? Can you go with maybe one or two other households rather than, you know, inviting 20, 30 people, right? C stands for closeness. So really, can you, you know, allow enough space between people so that they're not within the 6 feet of each other and they're able to practice that, you know, physical distancing of 6 feet. And then D is for duration. So obviously, more time you spend together, the higher the risk of getting the virus, right? So can you have a shorter gathering than a longer gathering? And E really stands for epidemiology, which is, you know, locally what's happening. And we know in Wisconsin, you know, I'm looking at the daily cases, it's really approaching 4,000 to 5,000 cases. It's really exploding. So, you know, when there are cases going up, when there are a large number of cases, locally, you know, are you able to delay your social activity until the virus is, you know, more under control? And F obviously stands for face covering. So, you know, is it possible for all the members who are present at your social gathering to wear the mask? And this kind of can be problematic if you're, you know, hosting dinners indoors, right? Or people are drinking. It's really difficult for people to wear a mask consistently. So, you know, when we really think about A, B, C, D, E, F, I think it would be helpful to really go through each of these components and say, hey, in each of these, how can I lower the risk associated with this by, you know, really, you know, moving the lever on each of these.
We're talking about how to socialize safely during the pandemic with Dr. Jason Bay, internist and medical director at Prealize Health. He wrote about this in STAT, and you could join us at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about socializing safely during the fall and winter months in particular? What steps have you taken, if any, to socialize safely? Have you tried establishing a pod or bubble, a small group of people or families? What challenges have you faced socializing through the spring and summer? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Share your creative solution. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about steps we can take to socialize smarter and more safely during the pandemic. Our guest is Dr. Jason Bay, internist and medical director at Prealize Health. He recently wrote a piece about this for STAT, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found new and different and safer ways to socialize with friends and family over the last 6 months or so? What are you looking at in the winter months? Do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Joy is with us in West Bend. Joy, hi.
Hi, thanks. We have a daughter who lives, an adult daughter who lives like 35 miles away in Milwaukee. And so we have visited outside with our masks on, and we have gone to park to walk and that kind of thing. We've done Skype visits and see her when she comes to church on Zoom. But what we really miss is hugging. So, you know, we've heard that there was somebody who designed a frame to put a piece of plastic on, and then you could really hug each other with a piece of plastic between you. How effective would that be?
Joy, thanks for the call. First of all, Dr. Bay, it sounds like Joy and her family are being really smart, and all those things she described, they fit your ABCDEF pretty well. But what about the hugging?
Hey, Joy, I just wanted to congratulate you first on you know, being so thoughtful around your interactions with your daughter. So, you know, I think hugging and physical touch is such an important part of how we connect with each other. And the Infectious Disease Society of America actually had a snippet about this exactly. I think, you know, hugging for a short period of time with hand hygiene as well as wearing a mask is pretty safe. If you, you know, really think about how the virus is spread, it's close contact between people, but usually those contacts needs to be for, you know, at least 5 or 10 minutes. So hugging for, you know, a couple seconds with after having washed hands with the mask on properly, I think is pretty low risk. And if you want to, you know, add an additional layer of protection on top of that, I think that will make it even safer. But you know, I wouldn't be so afraid to, you know, hug your daughter, you know, once in a while. I think that's a good idea.
Joy, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. I wanted to ask Dr. Bay, as you've mentioned, we've got winter coming here. That's going to make the A part of your ABCDEF, the airflow, harder. You know, the outside meeting isn't going to sound as fun, or garage or porch. We're not going to throw our windows wide open. Can we help balance that out by making sure we pay more attention to the other parts of your ABCs?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just heard that there was the winter storm warning that was that was in place right before I got on. So yeah, it's certainly a challenge. So the way I think about you know, COVID-19 risk indoors is really a couple of things. One is, you know, where is the source of the virus, right? How can we control the source, and how can we also manage the virus once in the air, right? So really having people wear masks inside, especially if it's the people that's outside of your household, is going to be the most effective thing in terms of not having these particles floating in the air. So, you know, obviously that's, you know, making sure having that conversation with people you're inviting, you know, if appropriate, and say, hey, you know, we want you to wear a mask and we're going to enforce it, and making sure that happens. And then two, you know, having less people involved for a shorter time, obviously, in terms of the B and D of the ABCDEF. And the last thing is, if you can introduce some type of airflow, even if it's just a couple of windows cracked open slightly, right? And having people wear a jacket or sweater, I think that would certainly decrease the risk of the COVID-19 risk, even though it may not eliminate it entirely.
In our last minute or so, I want to pivot to something else you wrote that I've heard from other healthcare professionals on the show, a concern that people are avoiding necessary medical care for fear of catching COVID, you know, not making that emergency room visit with signs of a possible heart attack or stroke, or getting vaccines for their kids. We need to keep doing some of that stuff, because that's right now important stuff, even amid COVID, right?
Well, absolutely. So, you know, I work in urgent care, and I, you know, what I tell my patients and my family members is that I actually feel safer going to work into a hospital building than sometimes going to a grocery store, because in this hospital or clinic buildings, the masks are very well enforced, and oftentimes they actually screen for symptoms of COVID and make sure those folks are isolated. And then what we know is that the cancer screening numbers are down, vaccinations are down, the heart attack numbers are up. So, you know, I think the if you need to see a doctor, if you need to get a, you know, lab done for your chronic medical disease, if you need to get any of your routine medical care done, then I don't think you should feel fear about COVID-19 to prevent you from getting those things, because I think the benefit, potential benefit and harm ratio really weighs towards getting that needed medical care.
Dr. Bay, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Jason Bay is medical director at Prealize Health and an internist. He joined us today to talk about how we can safely during the pandemic, especially as we head into the cooler winter months.